ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-ESPN. If you missed any of the first hour, all available on podcastarena.com. And if you go to podcastarena.com, you can also pick up a copy of the sensational new audiobook, An Introduction to Sports Betting Blitz Style, by two guys you hear on the afternoon.
Sensational.
Yes, for the low, low price of $12.99. So, and getting great, great reviews so far from the people who have purchased it.
Nice.
All right. This is where we go through the entire NFL and then we pull our three NFL picks out. I think I was 1-2 in the NFL and 2-1 in college football, but I was actually 1-0 on my real bets last week. And I got lucky last night because I went ahead and hit Kansas State. And then I was going to bet the Browns when I got home and I got busy. And then when I logged on, it wasn't there. And I'm like, what the hell? And the game's been on for 5 minutes. Anyway, we start with Raiders-Steelers. Steelers -4 at home against the Raiders. As much as the Raiders have played better, I like them getting points here, but I don't like them going into Pittsburgh. I don't like the West Coast to East Coast move, and Roethlisberger's second game back. No play for me, but I'd probably lean Steelers here.
I'd lean the other way. The Raiders they're playing better football than the Steelers right now.
That's a tough place to play, though,
it
man.
Is a tough place to
and
play.
I would just remind you about the same thing that happened a couple weeks ago when Arizona went in there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's...
The Steelers are without Le'Veon Bell now. Ben Roethlisberger clearly isn't back to being Ben Roethlisberger yet. So, it's a no play for me, but if I had to, I'd play the Raiders, who have really impressed offensively and have gotten to be pretty solid defensively. If they can slow down that run game a little bit, I feel pretty good about them, actually.
Actually, I think they're okay with D'Angelo Williams, a running back.
It might be. D'Angelo Williams has been a bum for a long time.
Yeah, but he's also a bum with a lot more around him now. And I just think that I think Steelers win this game pretty handily. Jaguars +8 at the Jets. I'm going to keep an eye on this line because I'm tempted to play Jaguar here, mainly because I'm really worried that Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to go out there and somebody's going to slap that hand once.
That's all it would take.
And he's going to go full kitty cat, and that's going to be it.
And then Geno Smith is out there, and
I'm feeling really good about +8 at that point.
Yep.
So I'm going to keep an eye on this line. If it goes up a little bit, I'll probably take the Jaguars.
I'm probably in agreement with you. I don't think it's a play for me, but I'd lean that same way.
Rams at the Vikings. Rams +1.5 at Minnesota. I was kind of hoping Rams might be +3 here. And I would have been on them. At 1.5, it's essentially a pick 'em. I don't really have an opinion on this game. I kind of like the Rams a little bit, though.
I'll make a play on this game. It'll be Minnesota. It'll be a money line play. I'm not looking to give any points. So that won't count as one of my official ones.
Yeah,
but,
so -120.
Yeah, Minnesota -120 would be my play.
All right, the Bills -2.5 at home against the Dolphins. Dolphins got exposed a little bit. Of course, everybody does against the Patriots. I think the Bills, I don't think you're going to see the same thing that the Bills did to Miami in Miami, but I think the Bills bounce back here. They've pretty much gone back and forth all season long, so I'll take the Bills here.
Look at us. We finally agree on one. I'll take the Bills as well. That'll be my my first official play.
All right, Tennessee +8 at New Orleans. The Saints have looked better. Their offense seems to be playing better. I would not give 8 points with the Saints. There's no way. What I will do is take the over 48 here and just keep riding the Saints over train.
I'll take Tennessee +8. That'll be my
don't blame you.
My second official play. I like the Titans to keep it close. I know all of a sudden this. I mean, listen, the Saints have won a couple games, but let's not forget what they were at the beginning of the season, and let's not act like there was some great change that happened. I mean, They've
straightened out their offense, but their defense sucks.
Yeah, that's still a questionable team out there.
And I think coaching change helps the Titans, too.
Questionable teams shouldn't give 8 points to anybody, even bad teams. So I'll take Tennessee and take 8 points.
Of course, Tennessee did just lose to the Texans.
They did. So,
but no, I'm with you. I think that's a good play, but I like the over 48. Redskins, plus 14 at New England. I am not in the habit of giving 14 points, even when it's the Patriots. I think that number, it just keeps going up. If it gets outside of 14, I got to bet the Redskins, as bad as they are.
I almost made that my third official play. I like one a little bit better. I'll probably end up playing Washington plus 14, but I like the Redskins. That won't be my official one, but that I am on that.
All right, the Packers minus 2.5 at the Panthers. I don't really have a good feel for this game. I do think the Packers bounce back here and win, but I don't want to give points at Carolina. But I do like the Packers to win the game.
I'm going to give points at Carolina. That's my third official play. I'll take Green Bay minus 2.5. Both teams had bad weeks last week. You know, Carolina just happened to play a worse team.
Yeah.
But Carolina let Indianapolis come back on them in Carolina and make a game of it. And something tells me that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to give the ball to Carolina three times. So I don't see that happen. Even bad Aaron Rodgers doesn't give the ball away three times.
Well, and he's not going to have two bad games in a row.
No, I don't think so. So I like that Packers minus 2.5.
Atlanta at San Francisco. The Falcons minus 7 at San Francisco. I am off the Falcon train for the rest of the season, so you may have that. Do whatever you want with it. I will not bet that team again this year.
I'm not betting them at 7. I told you earlier in the week I played them at minus 5.5. It's not a Falcons play. It's a Gabbert fade. I really think Blaine Gabbert is the worst quarterback in the NFL, starter or not. And I think that the Falcons are good enough that they're going to kind of expose that. And not only that, but so you say, well, maybe with Gabbert out there, they're going to run the ball, right? Well, they're going to have to run it with a guy who just showed up, Pierre Thomas, who, you know, hasn't played a game for them yet. I think there's going to be some serious pass protection breakdowns. I think they're going to have a hard time getting the ball going running. And I think Blaine Gabbert's just terrible. Outside of a touchdown, no thanks. But I said, 5.5 is where I got it at, and I feel okay with that.
New York Giants minus 2.5 at Tampa. I think Tampa is going to bounce after that win last week. You know, Jameis Winston's still not consistent. I think he's going to come back with a bad game here, although the Giants' defense is so bad.
That's what I was going to say.
More importantly, give me the over 50.5.
I like the over in that game. If I had to play a side, I'd be on Tampa. I'd like to get it at 3. But I feel like Tampa's got some weapons, namely Mike Evans, that they are going to really be able to use against this Giants' defense that seems to not be able to cover anybody.
Broncos minus 5 at Indy. I'm tempted to take Indy here because they've played their best games against the best teams.
Best teams, yeah.
And I think they're going to bounce back with a pretty good effort. Not one of my official plays, but I do like the Colts plus 5.
I like the Colts plus 5 as well.
And Eagles at Cowboys. This Eagles team is not good.
No.
And I know the Cowboys are getting 3 points at home. I'll take the Cowboys here. I won't feel good about it. I won't be excited about it, but I will take the Cowboys here plus 3.
I can't. I wouldn't play either side.
Yeah, I'm not playing.
If I had to, I'd probably just play the under, because I think you've got a couple offenses that are just a mess right now. Gun to head on a side, I'll take the Eagles.
All right, Bears plus 4 at San Diego. Here's another one that I don't really like the line. I do like the over in this one, too. I will take the over 49 in Bears and Chargers. I think you're going to see a lot of scoring in this game on Monday night. And I guess I'd take the Chargers to cover, but, boy, I don't feel good about it. I don't really – I mean, I just think there's going to be a lot of points scored.
Over and the Bears for me.
Okay, so my three plays are all overs this week. So over on that. I'm going over on the Saints-Titans, and I'm going over on the Giants-Bucks.
All right.
Those are my three plays.
What are those numbers that you got? The over numbers?
Okay, so Tennessee is 48. Giants, 50.5. Bears, 49. Those are my three.
And then, AJ, you had Bills minus 2, Titans plus 8, Packers minus 2.5.
Yep.
And I'm going to take Colts plus 5. I'm going to go under and 49ers, Falcons under 44. And I'm going to take the Bills minus 2.
All right.
Well done. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We've got to squeeze our college picks in, but I think we're going to have to do that in the 6 o'clock hour. And I actually like my college plays this week. So if and I did pretty well last week on colleges, although I got so – it was kind of tough last week because I was so caught up in the horse racing that I didn't spend as much time studying as I usually do. But
last week was the first week where all three of us went – over 500.
Nice.
All right.
Look at us.
I think both of you guys went 4-2. I went 5-1.
Look at you, John. You're the master.
The first weekend of research.
There you go. There you go. So that goes to show maybe I shouldn't study as hard. But I only made three actual bets last week, and they worked out. But you know what I like to do, though, is when I make bets, I like to be able to watch all the games. Well, you know the best place to do it if you're on the north side? Two Belows. They have such a great setup if you want to watch the games tonight. You want to go out there and watch the Rockets? You want to go out there and watch college football tomorrow? You want to see that LSU-Alabama game while you're watching Texas and Kansas? Two Belows is your place. They've got it all set up, man. They've got great TVs everywhere. And you want to go on Sunday for the NFL? They've got all kinds of specials going on. And the cool thing is you can go there. You can take the kids if you want. You don't have to take the kids, but want to take the kids, you can do that. You're going to be able to get great food. This isn't your average sports bar menu. And they've got all kinds. I love the hamburgers out there, but they've got Cajun food, and the wings are terrific. I mean, it's so much to choose from. And they take care of you. They really do. They love the Blitzers, and they love people coming there because it is such a great atmosphere. You're going to love your sports. You're going to have a good time. Chip and the gang know how to make sure you enjoy your experience when you go to Two Belows. And, you know, we love it. We're out there all the time. We're going to be out there again here pretty soon. And come see us. But if you can't come see us, go out there anytime. It's really the kind of place you can make your home away from home. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. That's Two Belows, twobelows.com. I want to get away. I fly
away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. ESPN 97.5. Breathing in the chemicals. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. And we were just looking at our college picture. You want to do those now or you want to wait till 6 o'clock? It's up to you guys.
I'm fine with whatever, man.
Well, let's
actually. I couldn't find my notes, but I found my plays.
Let's save it till 6 o'clock then. That way, we're not doing gambling. Let's take a phone call. How about that, Ernest? You're on the Blitz. Go,
Blitz guys.
Sports.
Yes, sir. I got a question for you. Since Green Bay lost to the Broncos, do you think that was a bad game, or Rodgers didn't bring his game on, or do you think we're even ready for, you know, the playoffs?
Green Bay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Green Bay's ready for the playoffs. They had a bad game. It happens. And you're going up against one of the best cornerback pairs in the league.
In Denver.
Aaron Rodgers is still a regular human that breathes air and needs food to operate. I mean, he's...
The greatest quarterbacks have games like that. And a lot of the credit should go to the Broncos defense. They did a terrific job on him. That's a tough place to play. I think you get a different result if you play the game at Lambeau, but that's nothing to panic over one loss. See, this is what Houston fans...
It's not like college football. No. I mean, you can lose a game here and there and still be a legitimate contender.
No, what they were like 9-7 when they won the Super Bowl that year. You're fine. You're fine. Aaron Rodgers is fine. Houston fan is looking at you going like, oh, they lost a game, and he's wondering if they're ready for the playoffs. Oh, my God. No, it's nothing to worry about, man. It's you're not going to win them all. Nobody does except the Patriots. They might win them all and then lose to the Giants in the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
Texter, is the new Baylor quarterback the real deal, or was last night equal to Mariota's first half of his first NFL game and he turns into trash after that? Oh, he's a real deal. He was a highly recruited dude.
But did Baylor look like did Baylor look like a top four team last
night?
Did
you come away more impressed or less impressed with Baylor?
I came away a lot less impressed.
Because that Kansas State team is not playing very well. And they were in that game. They gave him fits. And now, to be fair, first-time start for a new quarterback, I think he's going to be fine. But I don't Yeah, honestly, I can see. Well, I think TCU's losing this week. I'll say that. I think they're losing to Okie State.
Wouldn't shock me.
And I just don't know that. I just don't have enough body of work of Baylor against quality opponents to say, you know what? Yeah, they're going to be able to beat TCU and Oklahoma State. I just don't have it. So we'll see. If they do all those things, they'll be in the top four.
Yeah.
But I was not impressed last night. And all we have to go on is them just beating the crap out of teams they're supposed to beat the crap out of.
Yep.
So it gets tougher from here and more interesting. But, yeah, I mean, kid's a solid player. I mean, they could plug anybody in at quarterback.
But I don't feel good about their chances long term.
No, I think they're defensively, they've still got some pretty serious issues.
Which is the problem with every with the exception of OU.
Yeah.
Every team in the Big 12 that we consider a contender is just bad defensively.
And when you get into a game, and we saw it with TCU a couple times with Kansas State and Texas Tech, you get in a shootout like that, if you play bad defense, you can lose to anybody at some point. Yeah. Because that all it takes is a hot quarterback or a running back that goes off, and suddenly you're in a mess.
TCU, Baylor, Oklahoma State are all not just like, you know, so-so defensively. I think they're all bad defensively. And once they start seeing some good teams, they're going to get exposed.
And I think part of the problem is and we've talked about this before.
You can't be good with those offenses.
With those offenses, yeah, at that pace, it's hard to have a really good defense. The only teams that have been able to be close to that are Auburn and Oregon.
Yeah.
And they've been able to have good defenses at times. But it's almost impossible because those guys are on the field so much. Even if you have a talented defense, the numbers – and then when they get tired and gassed and the other team starts going up and down the field on them, that's where you get these 55-52 games and 70-53 like we saw last week. 713-780-ESPN. Let's try Richard. What's up, Richard?
Hey guys. Hey guys. Sports.
Sports to you. Do you mind if we call you? Do you mind if we call you Dick?
Talking about the Broncos and how the defense was able to contain Aaron Rodgers with Tom Brady playing out of his mind this season. Do you think that the Broncos defense has any shot at doing the same thing to Brady as they did with Rodgers? I know that Green Bay even has a bit of a better running game than the Patriots do, but do you think Brady is still just an exceptional human being at this point in time and he's unbeatable, or do you think the Broncos defense has a shot at that?
I think the Broncos could do the same thing to Brady they did to Rodgers.
They have the game in Denver, and that's a huge advantage for them.
But it could go either way. If Aaron Rodgers saw the Broncos again, I could see Aaron Rodgers eating those guys up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about who's playing well that night. And, you know, it's going to help Tom Brady that he saw what Aaron Rodgers did, and he's going to do something differently. He's going to figure out what Aaron Rodgers did wrong. He's got some film. I don't think there's anybody – there's no teams that are unbeatable. You know, I mean, Tom Brady, again, just like I said, Aaron Rodgers is just a living, breathing human. Tom Brady falls into the same category, believe it or not.
He's going to have a bad game at some point.
He's not a robot cyborg.
If he was, he wouldn't have needed to deflate his balls.
That's right.
Texas says when you score 50 points a game, who needs a great defense? You know what? Go ask Texas Tech about that.
Yeah.
They've scored 53 and 52 and lost both games. So, yeah, you might want to have a defense.
Who needs a great defense?
Yeah. Well, we score 50 points a game. Well, it doesn't do you any good if the other guy scores 70.
Well, congratulations. You won the Big 12, and you'll be sitting at number 5 or 6, and then you're going to cry and say, what about us? And people are like, well, your defense sucks, so we just don't trust to put you in the top four. Or you might get into the top four, and then a team that actually plays defense is going to shut you down, or they're just going to – if Kansas State's able to go toe-to-toe with you, what do you think one of these teams like Ohio State or LSU is going to do? They'll be all right.
Or Alabama.
Or any of them.
Yeah.
Clemson.
Simply Herb says, if TCU loses this week, I'll bring you barbecue next week. You don't have to do that. You can just say, you're wrong. We get that all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell them about HBO.
Oh, what's going on HBO tomorrow night? I'm excited for this, guys. World Championship Boxing, HBO's World Championship Boxing, returning tomorrow night. Timothy Bradley and Brandon Rios. It's going to be a really fun fight. And the more I look at this fight on paper, the more excited I'm getting about it. Timothy Bradley, we all know, 32-1-1, 12 knockouts. He's the welterweight champion of the world. He's previously held titles at welterweight and light welterweight. He's got wins over Pacquiao, Marquez, Provodnikov, Devin Alexander. A lot of great wins on his record. And I always go back to that Provodnikov fight, which is one of my favorite fights of all time, where basically he was concussed and beaten to a pulp and somehow came back and won that fight. His two fights with Manny Pacquiao, the one decision, the questionable at best decision, and then the decision loss that he had. Still one of the great fighters in the world today. Brandon Rios, of course, another fantastic fighter, best known for his trilogy with Mike Alvarado. He won two of those three fights. He's also got a notable win over Richard Abreu. So a really good fighter, and these two guys are going to go in there and go to war. They're not scared to get after it. It's going to be a really fun fight. Really good undercard with this one as well. And right after the fights, episode one of 24/7, Cotto Canelo will air immediately right after the fight. This two-episode program follows Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez as they go through the rigors of training camp preparing for their November 21st pay-per-view fight. That's HBO's World Championship Boxing returning November 7th with a huge night of boxing. Fan favorites Timothy Bradley defending himself, his belt, against all-action warrior Brandon Rios. Hopefully defending himself too. And right after the boxing, don't miss 24/7, Cotto Canelo, the premiere of that. See it tomorrow night, Saturday, November 7th, 8:30 Central Time, and see it only on HBO.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz. Guess what it's time for? Best segment of the week. Founder pregame.com. RJ Bell joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And RJ, we kind of threw you a little bit of a curveball here because AJ was freaked out over this NBA line. And so Jong sent you an email. So did you find out the information for us, what the biggest NBA line has been?
Well, if you take a little look-see at RJ in Vegas on Twitter, you might have your answer.
I just saw that. It says, yeah, Warriors minus 17 versus Nuggets tonight. Favorites of 17-plus points since 95. 96-1 straight up. 48-47-2 against the spread. So basically what that means is you would be a complete dummy to make a play on this game one way or the other.
Well, I think that it really shows that the spread is the great equalizer.
Right.
Doesn't matter how good or bad the teams are. It's the question is the perception of the market that how much better, I guess the way to say it is, how much better is team A against team B? And even when you have these extremes, Vegas is able to assess it in a way that over the long term, it's going to be hard to just bet the favorite or just bet the underdog. I did find it interesting, though, fascinating, actually. The biggest upset in NBA history was a 17-point underdog. So none of those other ones, like, so literally, you know, with 17 and a half or more, you would think that every night, the back-to-backs, you know, all the fact that there has been, you know, almost 100 of these or whatever, the fact that no one over 17 has ever lost as a favorite, that really surprises me. I don't know about you guys.
I think the part that was most surprising to me, and you said 17, the number I have currently in front of me is 18. And I asked Fred this, who's the best team in the Eastern Conference? And I assume Vegas would agree it's the Cleveland Cavaliers are the best team in the Eastern Conference. And then who's the worst team in the East? And Fred said the Sixers. Those guys are playing tonight too at Cleveland, and it's a 13.5 point spread. So, and I don't think anybody thinks the Nuggets are the worst team in the Western Conference. I mean, they're not a good team, but I don't even think they're an awful team, but 18 points when the Cavs are 13.5 point favorites over the Sixers is kind of crazy to me.
Well, it goes to show you is don't be deceived when you look at future odds, because what you're going to see is that Cleveland is going to be right up there, if not the favorite in some spots to win it. And you're thinking, oh, wait, that must mean Cleveland's the best team. No, pure power rankings rate the best teams, but the future odds are how good is this team? And what is their path to the title? And obviously, and I think it's an under-exaggeration. You can't exaggerate enough how much tougher the West is. And that's the point. I mean, really think of, I mean, let's just say, you know, everyone's got their opinion, but I think everyone knows the Spurs are going to be really good. Everyone knows Golden State had a historically good year last year. And that's the thing, people maybe don't follow as closely the NBA. They said, oh, okay, Golden State kind of jumped in and Curry did well. No, if you look at the point differential in over 82 games, I mean, that tells you something. Is Golden State had one of the best regular seasons in history last year, and they've got pretty much everyone back. And then Oklahoma City, I mean, imagine one of those teams, or who knows, the Spurs were a sixth seed last year, but I mean, there's going to be a team that potentially could be the third best team in the East that doesn't make the playoffs in the West.
RJ Bell, our guest. Well, let's turn our attention to the NFL. I'm intrigued by this Jacksonville-New York game because I wonder if Ryan Fitzpatrick in particular with the injured hand, if he gets slapped on that hand once and you've got Geno Smith, 8 points sure looks pretty sweet to me with the Jags.
So, if you don't mind, can we talk just college football just for a minute?
Sure, sure.
I think with the Texas connection, this is interesting. So, we do our Vegas rankings every Tuesday. We get two professional bettors, one bookmaker to vote, and we have our top 10 to compare to the committee. And the number one team that was snubbed, the best team in the eyes of Vegas that didn't make the top four, TCU. TCU, number 8 in the committee. We've got them as the third best team in football.
Even after last night. That's Baylor. Never mind.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And we think it's a situation where TCU would be favored over number one Clemson and over number one or number two LSU. So As of right now, that's the team I think that the committee's underrating a little bit.
Boy, I hope that happens so I can bet on those other two teams.
Yeah.
You don't like TCU?
I'm not a believer in TCU. I think all these Big 12 teams, the Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor, are all so bad defensively that when they get on the field with a comparable team, it's going to be lopsided.
Who do you think? I mean, do you think TCU last year was a really good team?
I think they were good for a Big 12 team. I think they wouldn't have had a chance in hell in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. What's your thought on the Dillon Panthers?
The Dillon Panthers are unstoppable. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose,
Texas,
RJ. Everybody
Texas
knows that.
Forever,
Texas
baby.
Forever. Fred doesn't get that because Fred thinks that's a stupid show.
Fred, wait a minute. Wait, I don't want to have to leave this segment. Fred, how many episodes have you watched? Friday Night Lights.
I watched one, and it did not interest me at all.
Oh, my God. So now let me ask you. I bet there's a dozen people you really respect that's told you they really like this show.
Oh, yeah, but it's...
So it takes you only one episode to completely debunk everyone else.
No, just because they like it doesn't mean I like it. If we all liked the exact same thing, we'd all be chasing the exact same woman. And only one of us would win.
The only thing that could have made that show better if it would have been on Cinemax, and then we could have seen Lila Garrity topless. That's the only way it could have been better.
Yeah, she was a little snooty to me.
But get out of here. RJ, don't make me in this segment, RJ.
I was a Tara girl, or a guy myself.
I think Fred
lie.
Would be, too, because Fred likes him with a touch of the gutter, and that's definitely
yes.
Tara.
Definitely.
I'm actually rewatching it on Netflix, so it's on my mind right now.
Oh, good for you.
All right, where are we going now?
Maybe some NFL.
Okay, yeah. So talk about that Jaguars game a little bit because I'm very interested in taking the Jags +8 here, even though I have a sneaking suspicion Fitzpatrick doesn't make it the whole game.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really goes to show you what kind of negativity the Jets organization has for Geno Smith. I mean, when a guy is literally, you know, somewhat less than 100%, you think that backup who started last year, you'd have him in, but obviously not. The line got hit up today. Just this morning, Jets were 7. Now we're up to 7.5 over Jacksonville. If we were talking 2 weeks ago, or even last week, the sense was the Jets were like the 7th or 8th best team in the league. Like, really good. Better than people thought was the Vegas perspective. And losing to the Pats 2 weeks ago really wasn't a big deal. In fact, some pros I talked to said they thought the Jets were better after that game. But Oakland going out there and just laying such an egg, that could be an aberration. Could be the Raiders are a lot better than people think. We actually have them rated as an above-average team. The Raiders are now an above-average team. I think I was in my 20s the last time I said that. And the fact of the matter is, I don't know the answer. I want to see one more game from the Raiders. I want to see one more game from the Jets. And if the Raiders do well in Pittsburgh and the Jets win this game easy, then I'm going to say both teams are good. Someone had to lose that game. But if I see the Jets falter here, even a close game, or if I see Raiders get blown out by Pittsburgh, I'm going to say, how did the Jets get dominated by the Raiders? So to me, this is one of those games. I don't think we have enough information. I'm passing.
So the same thing go for the Steelers game then?
Here's the thing about the Steelers. There is an uncertainty, but it's Big Ben. I mean, how? Here's the paradox that no one talks about that I hear. A guy plays, he's less than 100%. A week goes by, we don't get to see one snap of practice. How do we know how much progress he's made? Like, Andrew Luck's the same thing. Andrew Luck, I've been anti-Luck for a long time, so I could take some bows here, but obviously he's not as bad as he's looked this year. He's injured, right? We might not even know what injury it is, ribs, whatever. How do we know how much better he's going to get week to week? I don't know. And I think it's the same question with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, for the first half of the season, pre-last week, was a below-average quarterback, undebatably. Statistically, he was like in the 31, right? Last week, he looked like the old Peyton Manning. Now, remember, they had a bye, Denver did before. Was it just he was tired and his arm got loose, he didn't throw those 2 weeks, and there we go? If that's the case, then this week he still might be a little better than he was in week six. But in a couple more weeks, that bye rest time is it's going to be dissipated. So to me, that's one of my big questions this week. Peyton Manning, does he still play at the level we did last week? Because if so, Denver is just as good as the Patriots. Because Denver has the best defense in the league, and it's not even close. I just don't know what kind of quarterback Manning is going to be when it comes playoff time.
One of my favorite plays this week is Green Bay. I think they're in a great spot. Carolina coming off of a short week, and Aaron Rodgers coming off the worst game I've ever seen him play. Am I crazy for being excited about this Packers team this week?
So remember in Karate Kid 1, the first Karate Kid? How recently have you seen that?
Oh, it's been years.
Okay, so he had his own theories about karate, but Mr. Miyagi like tied his hands and said, you got to do it just this way, right? You and road favorites, we're going to have to find a way that every time you bet a road favorite and lose, you got to donate $100 to charity or something. Because you got to be careful with these road favorites. Not saying Green Bay is not going to cover. They could win by 30 here. But I think it's always too easy to look at the better team and say, I'm laying less than a field goal. That looks good. I really question this Packer team on the road. We've talked about this for 2 years. Since the start of 2013, they've played 12 road games. They're 6-6, and they've been outscored. That's against everybody, bad teams, good teams. And then you look at Carolina, undefeated, and our database in the NFL goes back to 1989. In that time, before this week, there was one team, 7-0 or better, that was ever a home underdog. So literally, in all these decades, Carolina is the second time this has ever happened. Now, what could that be? It could be Carolina's a historically bad 7-0 team. Maybe. I think they're close to that. Or it could be Green Bay's a historically good team, just in general. Forget their record. Well, I can promise you, Green Bay on the road, we talked about their one loss. Check out Green Bay on the season. They've been outgained yardage-wise by like 400 yards. And they're like number 29 in the league when it comes to yardage. So, I mean, to me, I know we all love Aaron Rodgers. And just to get the exact stat, they've been outgained by 305 yards on the season, and they're number 27 in the NFL. I mean, we're halfway through a season. There's something going on in Green Bay that we don't fully understand, and I certainly don't want to play them on the road here.
What about I think they've got a number that would make me bet on the Redskins against the Patriots. How often do we see these Patriots cover when they're this big of a favorite at home?
Yeah, this is probably my best bet of the week, Washington. Remember, it's the old caveat. The harder it is to make a bet, the better the bet is. The easier it is to make a bet. Oh, I'm laying 16. That means it's not a good bet because everyone else is doing it too, which means there's a premium on it. It's like the black car, the red car versus the pink car that we always talk about. But there's another reason I like Washington. Injuries to non-marquee players don't get a lot of attention. Remember, Washington, the first four games or so, looked really good this year, right? Then they started looking crappy. Well, they had cluster injuries at multiple positions. They had a bye last week. Now they actually are looking healthier. I think this is a great spot for Washington. And you talked about it. Tom Brady, awesome. Last six games, 16 touchdowns, one interception. but everyone knows it. It's built into the number. What they don't know, Pats at home in the regular season, when not laying double digits, anytime except when you're a big favorite, 28-8 against the spread. Awesome. Who wants to bet against that? When they are laying double digits at home, 5-12 against the spread. I don't care if you're Brady, Belichick. I don't care if you're Vince Lombardi, Chuck Knoll. In the NFL, if you're laying double digits, in the long run, you cannot beat the bookie.
My favorite play of the week, and you'll be proud of me because it's an underdog, and it's a game that I feel is a tough one to push a button on, is Tennessee. And I think that the number's outside of – it's at 8 now. I think outside of a touchdown. I think New Orleans is not the kind of team that should be giving up more than a touchdown to anyone, even the worst team in the league, which I think Tennessee might be. It just doesn't – that number doesn't compute with me with such a poor defense.
So, I mean, how do you account for – because there's a lot of different theories on this, the change in coaching for Tennessee.
I think a change in coaching can help. And I mean, you saw what it did with Miami.
I think
when you're a team that's playing terribly – especially a team that you maybe had like that maybe had some preseason hopes. You know, Miami did. I think Tennessee didn't expect to be this bad. I think when you cut a guy loose, suddenly there's a little bit of a momentum swing for your guys, and I think you may see some of that.
Well, this is the last time, odds are, I ever get to use this stat. So this is it. Ken Wisenhunt, last 35 games as a head coach. So this goes back to Arizona, 4-31.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he lost like the last nine or so with Arizona. I mean, and I'm a Steeler fan. He helped us win a Super Bowl. This guy should not be a head coach. So I think you're right. I will say this, though. What is the current home field for the Saints? Because just last year, and certainly the year before, the case could be made the Saints had the best home field in the NFL. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say it's probably more than average, but I mean, I'm not going to put it up there with like, I don't think it's as good as Green Bay or Seattle or someplace
like
that.
Well, it certainly was 2 years ago.
Oh, I 2 years ago, but the Saints were a good team 2 years ago.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Home field should be, if the crowd, like what factors make home field?
I mean,
right?
RJ, when the Saints are bad, fans wear bags on their heads. That's, there's no advantage to
that's
that.
That's it. I agree. But the reality is the Saints aren't so bad anymore. They certainly have a shot at the playoffs, right? So, I mean, my sense is, and let's just look at the data real quick. Last 11 games, Saints are 4-7 against the spread at home. That's bad. In the prior 19 games, during the heyday, we were talking about 18-0-1 at home. My sense is this feels like a momentum week. This feels like a week that they're laying over a touchdown for a reason. So my sense is you're going to have an engaged crowd. And if you do have an engaged crowd, I'm not interested to have a rookie quarterback that's been sacked 17 times in his last four starts. And that's the thing in the domes. The domes are really better for the defense, and it's really better for the pass rush. So you got a rookie quarterback that's taking a lot of sacks. If the Saints crowd is engaged, I don't want any part of Tennessee. That said, I don't want to lay over the touchdown over a touchdown with the Saints team. I'm not sure how good they are.
I took the over. RJ, great stuff as always, my friend. Always a pleasure, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. We'll get around to some phone calls at some point. Before we do the gym of the day, though, I just have to say, those of you who keep trying to throw, and a bunch of people doing it on the text line and then was it on Twitter? I was going back and forth. Simply Herb. It's like, well, look what TCU's defense did to Ole Miss last year. Okay, first off, that's a bowl game. And if you guys have listened to the show long enough, you know how those are complete outliers and you can't take them seriously. Plus, a completely different team. They've lost a bunch of guys to injury and suspension. It's not even the same defense. Bowl games come down to a lot of it's motivation. A lot of the players are already looking ahead to getting drafted. They don't want to get hurt. I mean, that's why Utah can go in and beat Alabama. And that's the same thing Oklahoma people were saying. Oh, look what Oklahoma did to Alabama. That means we're going to be a national championship team next year. How'd that work out?
It didn't.
No, they wound up being not very good. So that's how, you know, so bowl games, not completely meaningless. I think there's times that they're very good, but you can't use those as examples. What you can use are the actual playoff games. And, you know, and I mean, look, I think TCU's good. I think you guys are underestimating Oklahoma State a little bit. That's I think that's a pretty solid football team. And the advantage they have TCU, OU, and Baylor at home. I think they're going to win two of those games.
I think they could, too.
And
but they're in the same group. They've got a crap defense,
they do too. They do, too.
Texas Tech ran it up and down on those guys.
Yeah, Texas Tech had them beat, and then they just fell apart.
I mean, there's no denying, if you're a TCU fan, that your defense is not very good. SMU scored 37. Texas Tech scored 52. Kansas State scored 45.
Yeah, but
those are big numbers.
But again, they had, six starters that they lost due to injury and suspension this year, and they've got a couple guys coming back finally, but you can't lose that much and have a good defense. So enjoy your run while you're on it, man. Just don't worry about what we have to say about it. I just, you know what? If I'm wrong, I'll lose money because I'm betting on Oklahoma State.
I still firmly believe Oklahoma is the best team of that bunch.
I agree.
And the loss to Texas is so boggling. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy.
I can't even
that they
imagine.
Lost that game. But that's what you get when you have a rivalry game like that that's played at a neutral site. I mean, crazy stuff happens in those kinds of games. But
with
the exception of that game, which, you know, there's no taking it out, and there's a loss on their schedule now.
You can't remove that, and especially.
But no one else has played that team inside a touchdown, and the team that played them the best was Tennessee, and that was at Tennessee, which is a pretty, you know, that's not an easy road trip. You know, they beat Kansas State and Texas Tech, who these teams we're talking about have struggled with. They beat the snot out of them. Kansas State didn't score a point against Oklahoma, 55-0, and that was in Manhattan.
All right, we'll come back to that. Chris on the Facebook page says, would you think less of me if I told you I sing along with the Gym of the Day jingle? It makes my trip home worthwhile. Get ready to sing along, Chris, because here it is.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Panhock Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Hey, Jay, I know you talk a lot about DUIs.
I do.
And the ways to avoid them.
Yep.
Here's one way not to. And I'm sure Gary Trichter would tell you, don't try this at home. Iowa City, which Iowa has a lot of weirdos too. It gets overlooked because Florida is just the, you know, it's the place for weirdos. But 39-year-old Ross McDonald was driving the wrong way on a one-way street. So he got, the police pulled him over. He was very confused. So, it was after Halloween. He was wearing a costume that featured male genitalia, just to throw that in. He admitted to having two drinks, which is what guys always say, right? Oh, I had two drinks.
Right. That's the standard number.
But he failed field sobriety tests, so they took him to a drunk driving processing room, and he decided he was going to try to beat the breathalyzer.
Oh.
Guess how he decided to do it while dressed in his costume with male genitalia? Eating toilet paper.
Well, okay, that's a bold strategy.
We'll have to see how it pays off for him, Cotton.
Yeah.
Apparently, he thought that if he ate the toilet paper, it would help him pass the breathalyzer test. It did not work. He blew a 1.165, which is twice the legal limit.
Oh, boy.
And yeah. So anyway, let this be a lesson to you guys: do not use toilet paper to try to beat the breathalyzer.
Shame.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Do want to let you know, tomorrow at Zadok Jewelers, Tacori engagement rings, wedding bands, bridal jewelry, or a work of art. Tacori engagement rings are known for a unique design element that provide windows of light to reflect the brilliance of the diamonds in each ring. If you're looking for engagement rings or wedding bands, this is your event. See the full line of Tacori rings, plus 500 additional Tacori rings flown in from their L.A. design studios. The Zadok staff is the most professional in the business, and they will guide you to the right jewelry for you. Today and tomorrow only at Zadok Jewelers. They're at 1749 Post Oak Boulevard near the Galleria area. Go to Zadok.com for more details. So if you're going to get married, go see them.
And do it now.
Yeah, right this
minute. Don't think about it. Just make it happen.
Yeah, because if you think about it too long, then you're going to be like, okay, this is a bad idea. I'm out. All right. Well, maybe you should sleep on it. And if you're going to sleep on it, you ought to be sleeping on a mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. Forget those Black Friday sales at Texas Mattress Makers. They always make it easier. It's Black November. Enjoy 40% savings off select mattresses and all standard sizes during the month of November. So here's some of the things that they're doing. A custom fitted queen size, usually $699 during Black November, $299. Top of the line twin size was $499, $249 now. Custom king size bed, $899, now $399. In three different feels, firm, plus, and pillow top. All of those savings all during the month of November. You know what? You want to go to a retail store and spend a whole bunch of money? You can do that. It's not really wise because you can go to Texas Mattress Makers. They're going to make the bed for you right there, give you these great deals, and you're going to sleep better. You're going to get a quality product that's custom fitted for you. At Texas Mattress Makers, you not only get factory prices because they make the beds, but you get custom fitted for a bed made for your body. We all sleep differently. My bed's going to be different from yours, and that's the great thing about Texas Mattress Makers is they know what's going to help you sleep better. Experience the best in custom quality beds. Visit Texas Mattress Makers today. Go see Yuval and the gang. Tell them I sent you. I promise you, they will take care of you. You'll get one of these great deals. And easy to find, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price. TexasMattressMakers.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.